When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, Dragon friends. It's Michael Hing here, aka Friezo. Before we start the show, if you're in Sydney, I wanted to let you know that on August the 5th, which is a Friday, I'm recording my stand-up special for TV and all that at the Comedy Store in Sydney. I've got a special offer for Dragon Friends listeners. You can get 2-for-1 tickets to the taping at the Comedy Store website with the code word. Now this is pod racing, all in caps, all in one word. You've got to buy them in lots of two, so do come along. It'd be great to see you there. Also, a quick note, you won't hear much at all from me this episode because when we recorded this, I was filling in hosting a TV show as I need to legitimize myself to my parents. All right, on with the show.
If it's spooky, don't be frightened. Scurry home and bar the door. And the fiends and ghouls delight in things that scare, so be well aware as you make your way. Don't be led astray, for the goal is near, and your friends are here, and there's plenty more in store.
It is hard to recollect how long you have been trapped in the mist-shrouded lands of Barovia. Time moves differently here. The sun seems to set just hours after it rises, while the moon darts backwards as well as forwards, spinning night without end. You have finally crossed the threshold of Castle Ravenloft and are ready to bring justice to the vampire Count Strahd von Zarovich. Now, this is a strange and foreboding place, and you've learned that little is as it seems. A disastrous dinner date with a vampire has left you bruised but not broken. Friezo, mostly naked, and Filge, covered in thyroid juice. So, a typical Friday night for the dragon friends. But beyond the dining room, a stranger sight still awaits you. The figure that you thought was the Count seems some kind of clockwork puppet, his appearance at the organ just a trick of smoke and mirrors. So who have you been speaking with? Who spoke with the voice of the vampire Strahd? Well, the wretched puppeteer lies cowering at your feet.
Please don't hurt me. Please.
I'm going to hurt you.
No. I didn't mean any harm, babe. Merely just a puppet show. A trick of the light. A distraction.
Distraction from what?
I put my foot on his throat.
I think that's an intimidation check. Quickly roll a dice for me. It's easy because he's a coward. 14 will do it. Excellent. I think you better spill your guts.
Look! I work for Strahd. I'm not Strahd. That much is apparent now.
And yet, let me just point out that in the last episode, that was not immediately apparent to Hing. And it took us about 20 minutes after the show to explain to him what had just happened.
Yeah, or me, by the way.
We all work for Strahd, all of my clan. We were tricked.
Oh, God, there's more of you?
This is a wretched creature that you haven't seen yet in your adventures. Not quite a goblin, not quite a halfling, something in between. Filthy and ragged. In fact, I think we've got a picture of what he looks like. A deep gnome. And this is a race that is native to the Barovian Mountains.
Yeah. And now I serve Strahd. My family has been cursed.
Why? Been what? What under this curse?
A curse?
No, it was her.
Who?
Herb.
Sorry, I cannot understand a word.
He's either saying her or herb.
He's a herb.
What do you think is most likely? Using context clues.
Who is she that you speak of?
Mad Moira. The Hag.
This is getting annoying for me.
I know. And yet, you're going to have to stick with it because We all lie in the beds of our own making.
Wear the chain I forged in life. Okay.
Be Mad Moira. Mad Moira.
Yes, Mad Moira the hag.
Yeah, the hag. Her name's Mad Moira.
What a...
Does Moira work for Stride?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. Mad Moira tricked us 500 years ago. And now we just have to give him gifts.
What kind of gifts? What could break this curse?
Well, nothing so far. I've tried everything. I tried making him a hat. I tried making him an ashtray. I tried making him a toothpick holder shaped like an echidna.
Did you try making a photo frame out of macaroni?
Of course I tried. And this wretched puppet you see before you is my lady's gift to the master.
And already you can see, in fact, that this room is a clockwork marvel. There is a figure dressed in the standard finery of an aristocratic vampire, suspended, not quite by chains, but more like filaments from the sides of the room. And there are arcane levers, cogs, and devices to control.
And a bottle opener.
And you notice that also that its belt has a bottle opener.
I'm trying to think of things I made for my parents. Not everybody made their dad a bottle opener.
I just like the fact that you can buy standard vampire finery somewhere. Step right up, vampire. Has all your vampire finery need? We've got velvet. We've got velvet.
You mock me, Baston, and maybe you should. I'm a wretched bitch.
How do you know his name?
It's written on his dick.
Get away from there!
Baston, put it away!
Let's swat him away.
Wait, if you are not the vampire, I should not have shown you my dick. Where is he?
Well, in a manner of speaking, he's everywhere and nowhere and somewhere.
That was not an answer.
Look, he lives in the West Wing.
Can we have some Thomas Schlamme?
Not that West Wing. No, keep going.
Can you take us to meet President Stride?
No, I could not possibly see the master, plus I'd have to talk like this the whole time.
Well, where are the prisoners kept?
Oh, I didn't even know about that. I didn't know anything about prisoners except myself. Oh, yeah, the dungeons, I guess. If you twist my arm, I guess they're probably kept in the dungeons.
Would my love, Irina, be there?
I don't know, man. Probably.
Irina Kalyana was, of course, Baston's betrothed, who we haven't heard about from about 4 episodes because you're...
I'm not that into her. But honor demands I satisfy my quest.
But if a madman tried to track the path that brought you here, you are technically here to rescue her, so...
Fuck, really? That's amazing.
We're also here to free the people enslaved.
Sure, you be quiet, what? Oh, that's good.
If we could break the curse and free you and your kin.
I'd be glad.
Would you be willing to help us?
Yes, of course, but I could not see Strud.
You can what?
I did, I could.
Oh, fuck me. This is like, you know when, like, you get caught smoking and...
I mean, you smoke a whole pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, your dad's like, no, we're going to sit here and you're going to smoke a carton of cigarettes. That's exactly what Dave has done to me with this voice.
Have you learned a lesson?
Keep
not at all.
Going.
Dave has done this to you?
What do you want to know? I've told you, he's in the West Wing, the prisoners are in the dungeons. As far as I'm concerned, they've been very helpful.
Well, no, we appreciate that. Guys, huddle.
Okay, I'll be over here.
Should we go and go to the dungeon?
Should I put my arms over your shoulders, or do you want to put your arms over mine?
Me think we go over, under.
I'll probably just put my arms around the back of your knees, both.
Ben, while they awkwardly hug each other, what are you doing?
I go, well, this looks like a pretty good chance to slink away.
Isn't your neck still under the foot of one half ogre, half human?
Orc, thank you very much. Rude.
What?
I'm half orc,
I
not
said
half.
That.
You said ogre.
Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, I think it is actually. I think it is actually. So,
what?
I think my neck is actually under your orc foot.
Yeah.
So, I go. Bill, I'll just be here again.
Sorry.
I spy.
Sorry, the huddle continues.
Oh, do you guys want to go to the dungeons or?
Yeah.
Before tracking down Lestrade, we kind of need to get more information, so we may as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I press my foot on the
okay,
neck.
Okay, wow.
Oh, okay.
Of Drew. What's his name? Does he have a name?
Wait, no. Does he have a name yet?
Keith.
So his name is Keith.
Oh, and I go, I might have to roll the dice to be able to do this level of intimidation.
Oh, you're going to intimidate
trickery?
Him? All right, well, just tell me what you're going
to
do, and I'll tell
you. I'm going to tell Keith that Strahd told us for him to take us to the dungeons.
Oh, great. Okay, well, why don't you make an intimidation check? DC 10.
Is that for my foot on his neck?
No, that's just a standard intimidation, but I'll give you advantage because he's outnumbered and your foot's on his neck. So roll 2 and tell me the highest.
12 is the highest.
That will do it. That will do it with your strength.
I was really looking forward to leaving him behind.
Keith, Strahd told us you have take us to dungeon.
That seems unlikely, but okay. Follow me.
The gnome Keith takes you from his chamber and through past a hanging piece of dark velvet that you hadn't even noticed is a door. And through that door, he opens it and he takes you out into a small light well, a kind of courtyard in this area of the very ruined castle.
Splash.
What was?
It's a well.
No, it's not a light well. It's a light well.
Yeah,
light.
I knew that.
Inside this courtyard of sorts, you see a grate, heavily barred with rotting wood, and Keith, from inside his robes, produces a filthy rusted key and puts it into the door and turns it twice. The grate opens and you see stairs leading down into the dark subterranean basements of the castle.
Have I still got my lights on?
No, you know, your lights only last like a minute, so that was my bad.
Oh, balls.
We also got caught on that, like, last episode. That...
Yeah, a lot of people wrote in.
Yeah.
Really? Sorry.
Are there torches ensconced in the wall,
great.
But they're not lit, so you'll just have to light them.
Oh, ensconced.
Hey.
I get it.
Can Friezo summon Bushu to light a torch?
Mm. Oh, yeah, what's Friezo doing? I guess Friezo... Well, Friezo, when we last saw him, was naked... had thrown his metal shoes at a mirror, gotten very angry, gotten burnt, broke his wrist.
Yeah, do you know what? I think for reasons that will be clear to everybody in the room, but maybe not on the podcast, Friezo is going to stay behind and try and find some clothes while they go into the dungeon.
Yeah, right. Friezo is trying to pull the default vampire finery off of Puppet when you guys leave, and he's taking a while, so you just go.
See you guys later! See you soon! This is my Hing voice! It's not very good!
All right, anyway.
Bye, Friezo!
Literally 1,000 voices.
It turns out I have a tinderbox, so
can
I like
try
some torches.
The voice? Hang on. This is my Hing voice. Boo-boo. It's still some picnic basket.
Officer Dibbles.
Hello, okay. And welcome to the feed.
Great, okay, yeah, you have a tinderbox, so you light one of them?
Yeah, I light one for each of us.
Great, so you all take a torch, and you... Who's going first?
The gnome.
All right, so you make your way down into the dark, and the air seems fetid and still, and you can see a corridor leading off with what seems like they were once doors that are so rusted shut that time has forgot them.
These were once doors, but as you see, they're so rusted shut that time has forgotten them.
Me have no idea what he said.
It's fine, just ignore it.
However, it seems that your friend Keith is not interested in any of these, and he leads you all the way down to the end of the corridor, where about 30 feet further, the corridor opens up into a sort of antechamber, and at the end of that is what looks like a locked metal door.
Get out your dirty key, Keith, and
okay, and then he does something grotesque.
What does Baston say to that?
Tit for tat.
Oh, yes, we're very good. Welcome to the this is a little castle joke. If I may. Welcome to the antechamber. I'm actually quite pro chamber.
Can you write that down so that you can say it?
Like... A non-corporeal, like ghost-like choir of booze answers that.
Tough girl. And then
Keith doesn't have a key for this door, unfortunately.
I thought I did.
And so this is the way to the dungeon.
Yeah.
Through the door. I'll use my key. No, I thought we were still talking. Anyway.
I will use my thief magic, that is to say skills.
Excellent.
To lockpicks and whatnot to...
All right, so you approach the door. Yep.
Yep.
What did you roll for the lockpick?
I rolled a 9.
Great, make a dexterity saving throw for me.
What?
What'd you get?
What'd you get?
Number 3.
You unroll your little cloth bag of hooks and shit.
If he rolled more, would you not have been quite so dismissive of that bag?
And you are beginning the work when suddenly you feel a whistling above your head and a sensation that something is dropping on you from a great height. You try to make a move to dive back, trip and fall flat on your face, and a strange armored creature is suddenly grabbing at you, scrabbling at you and biting you, and you're in combat.
That seems very unfair.
Oh, yeah,
it's
sorry,
a trap.
I forgot this is the end of my...
I'm in combat. Okay, I...
So this is got four legs, a barbed tail, big powerful antenna, and it looks like it's made of sort of segmented brown carapace.
Oh. What?
Carapace.
It's like a cockroach.
Are they
monster.
Like things you
it's
get like a cocktail
giant,
parties?
It's like a giant cockroach.
Yeah.
Okay, and he's on my back or my front?
He's
or...
on your back, and Filge, I rolled
it's
initiative
like a big
earlier.
Butterfly?
You got the first action.
More like it is extremely unlike a big butterfly.
Okay.
It's like a big cockroach.
Okay, so I'm going to pick up my great axe and swing at it.
Excellent.
Careful.
While it's on Simon?
Yeah, while it's on Simon.
Okay.
I forget what to do. Two, one.
I got usually an 8. Michael helps us roll the dice.
Yeah, Michael usually helps. I got an 8.
All right, so you grab your axe, you swing, and you miss. Next up is you, Simon. You're being wrestled to the ground by this thing.
Okay, I use my... Oh, God.
Do you have all of Hing's stuff?
Yeah. What have I got? Incense sticks. Oh, I got manacles. I clap manacles on two of his legs together to inhibit him.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Ooh. That's interesting. All right, go ahead and quickly make one more dexterity check for me.
Yep, that does it.
What, no. Smooth moves, but what did you roll?
3 again.
Okay.
Does that mean that I accidentally manacle myself to the cockroach?
No, something different happens. Okay, you miss in the heat of battle, you mistake its antennae for legs, and you're trying to wrap the manacles around it, when you suddenly notice something very strange is happening. They are corroding before your eyes and rusting, and soon they crack and disintegrate. This is actually a rust monster, and anything it touches that's non-magical corrodes.
So like a big butterfly.
Yeah. Yeah.
In many ways.
Just like a big butterfly.
Got it.
I guess it's your turn next, Keith.
Yeah, get the fuck out of there. Bye!
All right, the door is closed. Unfortunately, you're trapped inside.
The action pauses for a second and everyone breathes a sigh of relief.
No. I can't get out?
Oh, no, you can run away. I know you're just trying to get out of this voice, but I'm going to let you. Are you running?
No, actually, I'm going to go, you know what? I've lived my whole life being scared.
Better.
Never wanting to stand up for myself or anybody, but you guys are the best friends I've ever had.
And hang on, sorry, no, I just rolled a dice. And you know Filge missed before with the axe? At that point, you're clocked by the axe and you're knocked unconscious.
Bye!
Baston, you're next.
Baston has got a sick dagger. And he didn't give a... He's smart enough to know that this dagger's just going to get all rusted up. And it's a Bowie knife, which he thinks doesn't want to... So he punches it. Gonna punch this brown smart. Take this
in the face.
A nine
will also not do it. You guys are being defeated by this thing at the moment.
So we need to use things that are not metal.
No, it's the antennas that rust things. You want to be careful when you're hitting it, or use things that are not metal. You all know.
You know what's not metal? Is it my go?
It's not your go yet. The rust monster swings and attacks and tries to bite you, and it misses. And then its antennas lay themselves on your chainmail vest, Alex, because you ran in to attack it. And also has no effect, which makes your go now, Alex.
My go now. All right. What?
Are you going to cast some magic?
I don't have a...
He's getting his clothes on.
Remember, you're a wizard, Phil.
Don't tell me what to do. I got a two.
What are you doing, though?
What?
Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to roll my dice.
You're good. All right. I miss Michael. Okay. I'm going to punch it with my fists.
Okay, great.
Here we go. Oops. It's a two. Nothing if not consistent.
You're all failing to punch this giant cockroach.
Okay. As you remember, I'm wearing a sarong because all my clothes... not wearing the sarong. The pig is, but I was wearing like burlap. So I get the burlap and put it over the bug's antenna and head and try and wrestle
and
it.
And Baston gets his dick out again.
Ignoring Eden's horrific new fancy, quickly make a touch attack.
20.
20! Okay, in a moment, you successfully get out of its grip and you manage to swing around and tie the burlap in and the antennae, and your triumph at having basically...
Gives me an enormous erection.
Which everyone can see because you are now naked.
Absolutely. Hey guys, I'm not ashamed. This is who I am.
And I like it.
You all hang on to your clothes so much better in the last adventure. Great, next up is you're unconscious, and so Baston.
I'm going to stomp on the bag, because he's a roach, right?
Stomp it!
Go for it.
There's a bag full of roach.
Squish that roach.
Five.
Did you say five?
Whoops!
All right, so you try to stomp on it and are unsuccessful, and the thing flailing around trying to bite rolls a seven, which will not do it. This is a non-event of a combat. It fails. Alex.
I'm going to cast a magic spell.
Okay, once again, I cannot stress enough that
I'm
you are
gonna
not...
I'm going to open my big book of spells and cast a magic spell.
All right.
All right, let's do a witch bolt. All right, I'm like, move away, guys, and I push everyone back, and I kick the unconscious body of Keith. All right, step aside.
I take off King's pants.
I grab my magic wand and I bring it hard down on the creature, and I say,
in the manner of a magic spell,
witch bolt, witch bolt, witch bolt.
Okay, roll an advantage. Roll two dice. Give me the highest. Because this will count as a rage attack for you.
Spell 17.
17 will do it. D12 plus 4.
Yep.
No, not that one.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Sorry.
9
points of damage. All right, the thing is flailing, damaged and bloodied, and it looks like it's almost out, but it's still standing.
That's how you do magic, boys.
Bobby.
Bobby's going to do a little magic of his own. I get the...
Is that your wiener?
I was about to say I grab my crowbar. which I have, and I just like belt it.
Great. That counts as a club. D20, 17 will do it. D6, plus your strength modifier.
No.
It's 5 plus whatever you got.
1.
6. 6 points. All right, you hit it again, and it's reeling now. It's damaged. It's leaking a kind of white corrosive fluid.
Fuck this bug.
Does Eden have a noise for the bug?
Oh, yeah, what?
Oh, fuck, it was adorable this whole time.
No.
Now can you make that noise when you're like choking on your own blood?
I'm kind of imagining it like a Dolomite.
You've killed a Dolomite, you're right.
Yeah, you killed...
I come bearing savings.
And, alright, so this giant-sized tardigrade, so what do you do next?
Baston?
Yep.
He's gonna stomp him.
Alright, stomp away.
No, he's gonna pick him up and throw the bag against the wall. Like I do when snails eat my orchids.
Everybody's just learnt something about Eden.
Die!
18 will do it. D6 plus using the wall, I guess. Yep. Roll to 1. But with plus 2 is 3. And the rust monster has been defeated. Congratulations. Woo!
I fall to my knees sobbing and cry, me become what me always hate. Friezo.
Does it? So it's leaking fluid?
Yeah, it's leaking.
What is that fluid?
It's like it's
cum.
Stop it!
Come on!
I've got dicks on the brain tonight.
This is
sorry, but it is cum.
It's not. It looks like some kind of acidic compound.
Oh, okay. So I won't smear it on my body in like a kind of a Rambo-esque kind of like war.
No, but it only has effect on metal.
Should we collect it for...
Yeah,
let's collect it. What, do you have any... I've got a floppy hat.
You have flasks. You probably... Yeah, you would both have a water skin if you wanted.
Yep, I am.
You do it. I'm too upset.
So I do that thing where you've got too much toothpaste that's come out, so you kind of like thump it back in by kind of making it big in. So I flatten the water skin and I try and pull it out so it sucks in the juice. Everybody done that before? Ron, you know what I'm talking about? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, when you get...
You got my back, I love
you. Utilizing the power of vacuum. great, all right, so you now have a flask of...
rust monster cum.
RMC.
And the door is still closed, so now are you going to...
I'm going to flip... Is it a metal door?
Yes.
I'm going to, on the locks, pour the rust cum into the lock... And just keep on like pumping it through until the lock breaks and we can force our way through the door.
That is a very novel solution to the problem. So I'm going to allow that, and you can have an inspiration dice. Congratulations! Woo!
Yeah.
Eat cum, door.
All right.
And that's the moment when you realize you have the title for the next podcast.
The door swings open, and inside you see the sort of central processing / torture chamber area of a kind of medieval dungeons. There are cells off to the side. There is an old rack. There are hooks and pincers and braziers, all long abandoned, dusted, rusted, ruined, and...
I thought you were going to say busted.
Anyway. Would be better.
And
crusted. Come on, guys.
They're turning on you guys for a change. And you can see there are all these cells, and they all mostly look abandoned as it sort of moves in, but not possibly all of them.
Hello, is anyone there?
As you make that sound, a bundle of rags...
You mean language?
Yes. As your mouth forms those shapes that vibrates the air through your lungs in such a way as to create noise.
Guys, if that is incorrect, please do write in.
A bundle of rags stirs, and underneath that bundle of rags, a tiny little face appears, emaciated and strange.
Oh.
It looks up at you, and I think we've got actually a picture of what it looks like.
Like dice?
Old dice face.
Oh.
No, no, definitely not like, yep. And to play this latest friend, please welcome him, our friend and one-time collaborator. You knew him once as Dilge, the half-orc from the small town with big city dreams. Please welcome Tom Walker.
I hear you've been adventuring.
Please, Tom, I'm begging you. We didn't need a second performer if we were just going to do this voice.
With my brother.
Brother, no. Is that you?
Oh my god.
So this is what it feels like when doves cry.
So as far as I can tell, this podcast has turned into a way to pitch our terrible voice acting show reels. So I'd just like to do that. 1 million.
Okay, so we're cutting all that from the podcast. So now that you've got that out of your system, the emaciated figure looks up.
Hey guys.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Commit, Tom.
Commit. I am committing to not ruining the podcast.
Yeah, so the emaciated figure looks up and his
eyes just lying here in a pile of rags.
Is he inside a cell or is he just
He's inside a cell and he's got like filthy manacles on his feet.
Do I have any cum left?
Are there any kids in the audience tonight?
Not anymore! Why?
Oh, boy. Does he have any cum left, though?
Yes, you probably have about a manacle's worth of rust monster serum.
Oh, semen.
The semen R and thing. U and E are silent.
Well, we use that to free him.
All right, so, you can just... The cell doors swing open and, like, don't put up much resistance, and you free him from the manacles.
Oh, thanks, guys. My name's Dringo.
Dringo, what? Why are you down here?
I've been here for 90 days. Mad Moira the Hag forgot about me. She put me down here to punish me, then forgot about me. It's been the best time of my life. Well, I love being alone.
What job you do for Mad Moira?
Just normal slave stuff. You know, carry things, put things down when you're done carrying them. What? Have pain inflicted on me.
What relationship has Moira got with Strad?
Oh, they're great buddies. Moira works the kitchen. A kitchen is where food is made.
That kitchen have more thyroid?
Oh, we're low on thyroid, but we're chock full of pituitary.
But what does Strad eat?
Wow. Blood. Is that correct? Yeah? Blood, as far as I know, but in all sorts of forms. Blood pudding, like Scottish people.
What's Scotland?
And what other forms?
Oh, all frothed up like a smoothie. Sometimes he has it in a weird foam. It's very experimental. A lot of the other vampires think it's pretentious.
Like a kind of...
He has deconstructed blood. It's a bottle full of white blood cells, some red blood cells, and you just put it all together to make your own, to your own tastes. Any other forms you'd care to hear about?
You realize that this particular gnome worked in the kitchens.
Yeah, a kitchen is where food is made.
Sorry, did you try
What's Keith doing?
You have to tell us.
Oh, let me just try and wake Keith up in our own language. Keith.
Yes, brother?
No, I just wanted to shake you awake with that song from the motherland.
Oh, yes, please sing along. Why would you do this to yourself?
What have I done? Wake up, I'm speaking like a drowsy pup. Wake up right now. This is the voice of Droopy the Hound.
That is the least deserved applause break I have ever gotten.
You haven't done the show very much.
How can the dragon friends find creatures such as these and bring them to their purpose? For it seems that this castle, once thought abandoned, is teeming with lives. But what kind of life is it? Servitude to a hag, beholden to a vampire. It seems like a broken half existence, one that fills you with pity and yet also extreme frustration. Can the dragon friends make good on their promises to rescue Irina? Will they free this land from cursed night? Is the vampire Strahd dealable with? For the answers to this and more, tune into the next episode of Dragon Friends. Thank you.
Much. Dragon Friends is DM'd by David Harmon with music by Benny Davis and features the voices of Alex Lee, Simon Graner, Eden Lacey, Ben Jenkins and me, Michael Hing. The podcast is sponsored by PAX Australia, the country's primo video game and pop culture expo. And if you like the podcast, we have a Patreon where you can support us and earn bonus content and weird gifts, including this month, an hour-long Star Wars one-shot adventure. All right, thanks for listening. Bye!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.